Position Paper 6, Austria and the Nazis, Brad Frager. This is a very different format for a position paper, but I believe that the content of this story is extremely relevant to our situation in the United States today. At 10 years old, Kitty Werthmann experienced the Nazi occupation of Austria personally. This is her story.
The media still claims that Hitler rolled into Austria with tanks and guns and took us over. Not true at all. The fact is that the Austrian people elected Hitler by 98% of the vote. The year was 1938. Austria was in a very, very deep depression. We had more than 30% unemployment. We had 25% inflation. And if you borrowed money from the bank, you paid 25% interest. It was not unusual in my home that 30 people a day would knock on the door for a bowl of soup and a slice of bread. They could keep themselves alive by going door to door. There were no jobs. The media told us that in Germany, where Hitler ruled since 1933, they had full employment. They had a high living standard. We did not hear a whisper that anybody was being persecuted or arrested. We only heard good things. And we said, why not? We would like to have the same high living standard what Germany had. And of all the things, jobs. People wanted to work. So the Austrian people petitioned the government for an election. And hence, the Austrian people elected Hitler by 98% of the vote. So the first thing what happened, we had to carry national ID cards. You could not board a bus, you could not board a train without showing your national ID card. Before Hitler, of course, the moms stayed home, they were good wives, and they raised their families. But under socialism, if you are not in the workforce, you are called a parasite. So the moms were being put out into the workforce. So what happened to the children? Child care centers. And it was all free for everybody. You could bring your 4-month-old baby, leave it there 24 hours, 7 days a week. As longer you left your child there, the better the government liked it. The staffers of the child care centers, they were not the grandmotherly type of women who took care of the children. They were young women, highly skilled in child psychology to mold the little babies from 4 weeks on up how the government wanted them. The government raised our children. The next thing what happened, education was nationalized. We had a very good educational system in Austria before Hitler. I went to public school. We had a very good curriculum. We even prayed in public school before class and after class. That morning, after the election, I walked into my classroom and the crucifix was gone. And the teacher said, this morning, we greet each other, Heil Hitler. And she said, we don't pray anymore. We sing Deutschland, Deutschland über alles, Germany above everybody. And she also said, we would not have twice a week religious education anymore either. We would have physical education instead. So the rest of the day we had sports and fun. So when we returned home at night, we told our parents how much fun we had and how much better it was, and all the sports equipment we got free. Well, my parents were very concerned, especially my mother. So when my next school term came about in October, she announced that she would enroll me in a private school with an excellent curriculum, but not much fun. Off we went to the new school, high wall around, and a locked iron gate. And as I bid my mother goodbye at the gate, I almost hated her. I thought she was going to put me into a prison. But she was a wise woman. She said, "Today, you do not understand why I'm doing this for you. But when you grow up a bit, you will understand." On holidays, I could go back home for a visit. Of course, I was curious. I would go back to my former classmates and find out what was going on. I was shocked. 16-year-old girls were having babies for Hitler, and that was glorified. Next thing, what happened? He nationalized our healthcare system. We had a reasonable good healthcare system. This all changed very fast. My brother-in-law, who was a family physician, he told me that when he arrived at his office at 8 o'clock in the morning, 40 patients would be lined up waiting for him to be cared for. He said it was like practicing medicine on a conveyor belt. The government salaried all the doctors. So a lot of doctors left the country. A lot of doctors left, including my own husband. Abortions were highly illegal. Hitler wanted a lot of babies, blonde hair and blue eyes, the master race. But when a couple was not 100% Aryan and the woman was pregnant, she was forced to have an abortion. Hitler did not want any foreign blood, only the Aryan pure German blood. So in my last year in college, I was sent to a small village in the mountains, and I was told that because in the winter time the mountain passes would close up because of the masses of snow, so people in that village, they intermarry family into family. And we know by genetics that sometime the offspring, the baby, is a bit mentally handicapped. So when I arrived in that village, I was told they had about 15 of mentally handicapped people. One man I know very well, he was the janitor in our school, Vincent. He could not read or write. He could not talk very well, but he kept our school clean. So one morning, I looked out of my classroom window, and there was a van out there from the health department. I thought, well, and all these people were being ushered into the van. So I asked my principal, where are they going to take Vincent and all the rest of the people? I thought maybe they take him for an outing, for a picnic. The principal said, oh no, the health department came around and asked the parents if they want to institutionalize their son or daughter to learn how to read and write. Gladly the parents signed the papers, and off they went. 6 months later, the letters came to the parents that their son or daughter died a natural but merciful death. They all left in excellent health, in good health. And why should they all die within 6 months? It dawned on the villagers that they were being euthanized. So that was euthanasia. We also had a federal police force, secret police, commonly known as the Gestapo, and they were everywhere in civilian clothes. You didn't know who they were. People disappeared all the time, and nobody knew where people were being taken. Nobody knew, but people disappeared. And the Gestapo, they watched everybody, everybody's coming and goings, because we had national ID cards, and of course you could not board a bus or a train without showing your national ID card. They keep track on us, and we were being so scared, the most scared of everything we were of the Gestapo, the secret police. They created a network of informers. We could not trust our neighbors. We could not trust our friends. We couldn't trust anybody. We couldn't trust the mailman. Nobody. We were afraid to talk to anybody, anything political, because we did not know who was informing on everybody. A network of informers they created. We also had gun control. The government said that children were playing with guns and we had hunting accidents, people accidentally shooting each other, and we had criminals again, murderers. The only way that they could track the murderer was by the serial number of the gun. So bring your gun to the police station, then we can register the serial number and we can track the criminal. And we thought that was a good idea. Gladly we did that. Not long afterwards, they said no, it did not help. We could not track all the criminals. The best way to have no more crimes and no more people getting hurt, bring your guns to the police station, and they already know who had guns because we registered our guns. Dictatorship did not happen overnight. It took 5 years, from 1938 until 1943, we had a full-blown dictatorship. Those of us who sailed past the Statue of Liberty, we came to a country of unbelievable freedom and opportunity. America is the greatest country in the world if we can keep it.
Thank you, Kitty, for sharing your story with us. Hopefully, we will take it to heart and make sure that America doesn't suffer the same fate, not only for our sake, but for the sake of the entire world. This battle is not only national, it is also local. Fairfield is the only place we can fight this drift into an unacceptable progressive style of socialism. It's critical that we have a conservative voice on the council. Thank you. This has been a Groundbreaking Productions production, copyright 2021, Brad Frager. Written by Brad Frager and Barbara Foley. Produced and presented by Brad Frager.